This is a kind of a special chorus. You won't know it. That's okay. It breaks from the traditional melody a little bit. Just listen to it.
Hear the courage of Jesus as he trusts God with his whole life from the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to feel sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with the sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Was that not just like one of the most precious things ever, hearing sweet little Megan? She's little. She's what, 6, 7, 8 years old? She's real young. But it was so cute. Sorry, I don't have back pockets. These mic packs are not really made for us ladies, just so y'all know. And so I didn't figure you wanted to see. It is so true. I'm going to become a billionaire, because we're going to figure out how to make this work for us ladies, me and Laura. Okay, good morning, friends. I am so glad that you are here this morning. I'm glad that I am here with you this morning. For the past several weeks, we have been learning about the temptations that Jesus faced when he was coming out of the wilderness. Whether it be doubting our identity, the pressure to prove who we are, navigating this world of comparison and competition, wanting to be seen and noticed, or even having to choose love over power. We can relate to each and every one of these temptations. We have seen how Jesus responded to them, these temptations, and how he modeled for us how to navigate this clash of kingdoms. And even though he dealt with these temptations before his ministry even began, those are not the only ones that he faced, just as they are not the only temptations that we face. And so today, we will look at another set of temptations that Jesus faced that are just as relevant for us. We just heard sweet little Megan reading Matthew 26, 36 through 46. And here in this passage, we find Jesus closer to the end of his life and his ministry. But if we back up to just the beginning of chapter 26 to gain some context, we are going to see that a lot has happened right before we get to where we are today. Jesus has told his disciples that he is about to be crucified. We see where he has this encounter with the woman who anoints him with her perfume. We see where Judas goes off and sells Jesus out. And then we read about the Lord's Supper, about Peter's denials. All of that happens right before we start today. Jesus knows what is coming, and he needs to pray. He and the disciples, they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he takes Peter, James, and John off from the rest. This is one of the few places in the Bible where you will read where Jesus says that he is overwhelmed. He is sorrowful. He takes his friends and he tells them, "I'm overwhelmed. Stay with me." Jesus is so human in this moment. You know, we tend to want to put him up on this pedestal, which he totally deserves. But when we do that, and we do it with other people, it sort of makes us forget how they're like us, how they're human too. You know, we see people on TV and on social media today, and we think, wow, they have it all. They are on top of the world. Their life is so much better than mine. But we forget that they're people just like we are. That their animals are running in their house and making a mess. That their kids are slamming doors and not listening. That their husbands or their spouses or their wives are sick or have received a diagnosis. That they struggle with insecurities. That they struggle with infertility. That they have financial struggles in their homes too. They are going through the same things that we are going through. We just don't see it. And so when we see Jesus here in this passage needing his friends, it should be a reminder that we need ours too. This passage, it tells us that Jesus goes off on his own and he drops down and he prays. And this is where I think we see this temptation come about. Because it's the first time we see that Jesus may be tempted to not really want to go through what he knows is about to happen. He says, Father, take this cup, yet not as you will or as I will, but as you will. It's getting closer to time. It's getting scary. Jesus has known and talked for a long time that the cross is coming. And as it gets closer, we see this sort of fight or flight coming out in him. This natural response that we are wired to have to keep us safe. You know, the body, it's a very beautiful and very complicated thing. And so here is a very brief, compact, don't judge me, biology lesson. So if it's not, it's right, but it's not like all the way right. You know, I could go really in depth, but to make it compact, it's sort of going to be short, sweet, and to the point. So when we are in a situation, our bodies are wired to detect if it is stressful, if it puts us in danger. It does this through stored memories, and it sort of stores all of the sensory inputs that we have. And if it passes, or fails, maybe a better word of putting it, and it is, we are in danger, then our hypothalamus, which is in the brain, it sends out signals to two places, to our pituitary gland, if it's more of a long-term stressor, and to our adrenal medulla, if it's acute, right, real quick. And so there, in the adrenal medulla, we have the one thing produced that gives us that boom, adrenaline. And so we have this, what we need to fight or for flight. But here with Jesus in the garden, I don't think it's necessarily fight or flight, but flight, F-L, if you don't understand me. I know it's real hard. I see people talking about it already. But flight or courage, sometimes I think they do this to me as a joke. You know, is it my will or your will? Will Jesus run from this and will he try to avoid it? Or will he do the hard thing and stick it out and face it? I think that we find ourselves here in this place a lot where we are put in a situation where we just don't want to be. There's something going on at work. There's something going on in our marriage. There's something going on in our families or with our friends where we know what needs to happen, that we know what we should do, but we want to avoid it. Where my will looks like taking the easy way out, and your will, his will, it looks like doing the hard work. Where my will looks like avoiding the problem or the issue, and your will, it looks like having that hard conversation. Where my will looks like us praying, Father, take this from me. Fix it. Do what I think you need to do, what I want. But your will looks like trusting that that same Father is going to be with you in it and through it, no matter what that it is. And I think that this summarizes a big part of this clash of kingdoms that we've been hearing about, that we live in a world where we are told that to trust ourselves, and Jesus tells us to trust God. Where we think that we know best, and Jesus is like, well, actually, I know better. Where we want to take the easy way out, and we want to be the fixers, and Jesus tells us and models for us that we are supposed to face life and trust God. When life gets hard and things get messy, we want to run. not stay and do the hard work. But honestly, where are we going to go? Because we are going to find a mess no matter where we go. Because we are humans and we just cannot avoid it. It is worth it to stay, to do the work, to stick it out. Even Jesus couldn't get away from it. He didn't avoid the messy places. He just walked in, sat down, and ate with the people there. He befriended the people in their mess. He stayed with them, and he stuck it out because it was worth it. Because they were worth it. Friends, we are worth it. We see this in the passage today. Jesus, he leaves his disciples to go and pray, and he asks them to keep watch. And he returns from praying not once, not twice, but three times, and he finds them asleep. He knows that he is not safe, and his friends can't even stay up to keep watch over him. But he keeps coming back to them over and over. We can learn a lot about Jesus from this passage, and I think he shows us a lot about what it is to be human. You know, in this passage, particularly for today, he's not out speaking prophetic words. He's not out performing miracles. He's not out healing people. In this place, he is simply a man who is overwhelmed with sorrow. A man who is faced with the impossible. A man who is doubting himself and his call. He is a man who is lonely. A man who feels abandoned by the very people who are supposed to be there for him. But even in the midst of all this, he shows us that there is another way. He is patient. He's not rushed. I mean, it would be understandable if he were. He does know that he is about to die. But he goes off and prays three different times, modeling for us the prayer that he has taught us to pray. In a world where we're not to be vulnerable, Jesus shows vulnerability with the disciples. He shows how he's forgiving. It would have been so easy for him to have left the disciples, to be mad at them for not doing what he asked, for falling asleep. But he didn't. He kept coming back to them. Because he's all-knowing and he's understanding. He even said, you know, their spirit is willing, but their body is weak. He knows the disciples tried, but they are just as we are, human. And Jesus is trusting. When he could have asked God for anything, he trusted that God would just be with him no matter what. It may not be the way Jesus would want it to go, but he trusted that his Father was going to be with him. He struggled just like we do to submit his will to God's will and accept what he could not understand. A lesson that I think we all could learn. And he was faithful, really, really faithful. Even though he may not have liked it or wanted it, he was faithful to his call. He didn't walk away when it got hard or when it was time for him to cost him something. He didn't talk the talk. He walked the walk. Carlos Rodriguez, he is an author and a pastor, and he says, when we pray, let your kingdom come, we are praying, let my kingdom go. This is the clash of all clashes. We can't have both. We have to choose. Today, I think that we could take away a lot of practical things from this passage that we can learn from Jesus and from the disciples. When life gets hard, ask for help. Don't try to go it alone. Like I said earlier, if Jesus needed help, he needed his friends, we need it too. We have tendencies to want to isolate when life gets hard. We think that, oh, we can do it on our own, that life will be, or we will be fine. But Jesus told us that when two or three are gathered in his name, he is there with us. Authentic community is so important. And I wrote this in there. I'm just going to say this just in case you need to hear it. Social media is not the place for authentic community. So there you go. If you don't feel that you have friends or safe people that you can talk with, find a therapist a counselor, somebody. Just know that you are not alone. Reach out. Yes, it's scary. Yes, it's awkward. Yes, it's hard, but you are choosing flight. If you isolate, you are running. Instead, be brave and be courageous. You can do the hard things. And, you know, I think that there's a lot that we can learn from the disciples as far as how do we act or how do we react when our people, our friends, our families are going through rough times. When our friends or family members reach out because they are on the struggle bus, because their life is hard, because someone is sick, because they just have something going on where they need someone, are we there for them? Are we willing to go and sit and keep watch with them? Or do we fall asleep? You know, it can be very awkward to be a good friend sometimes. I know that I have, over the years, been tempted to want to run when things got hard with my family or friends, when flight kicks in and I just don't think I can do it. You know, how do you sit in the hard stuff with people? As a world of fixers, or maybe that's just me, it can be so hard to just be with people. But I'm learning how powerful and how beautiful this can be. To be still and listen. And not listen to respond, but listen to hear. And showing up for our people, keeping watch for our people, loving our people, this can be done and expressed in many ways. Maybe it is being a safe place for a hurting person or a friend to share. But maybe it's a chicken pot pie or a pot of soup. Maybe it's a surprise visit to show up for them to say, hey, I remembered you. You are worth showing up for. Or maybe it's stepping in for them and taking care of their families so that you can go out and take care of somebody else. Maybe it's a phone call or a simple text message that says, hey, I'm just thinking of you. Love you, friend. We have the opportunity every single day to do the courageous thing and to show up for our people, to love them, to help them, to keep watch for them. But you know, another thing that we see in this passage is that sometimes the friends, they get tired too. And as Jesus showed us, sometimes that has to be okay. You know, he leaves the disciples and goes off to pray, and he comes back once and they're asleep and he wakes them up. But then he goes off to pray again, and he comes back that second time, and they're asleep, and he lets them sleep. It can be hard to sit with people. And as the friends giving, we need to remember that. But also as the friends receiving, we need to remember that as well. You know, I think it's a good reminder that when we're on the giving end, which we all are at some point or another, that we need to be taking care of ourselves. How self-care is so important. As much as you want to, you cannot pour from an empty cup. It is not possible. So if I want to make sure that I don't fall asleep on my watch, then I need to be taking care of myself too. And maybe this for me is making time to read. Or maybe it's making sure that I get in exercise. Or maybe it's making sure that I have very healthy boundaries. But we need to do whatever we have to do to make sure that we are healthy, both physically and emotionally. We have to be prepared because we are not called to run. We are not called to flight. As people of Christ, we are called to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And to do this, we have to be present. We have to show up. When faced with the temptation to run or to stay, we have to stay. Mark Twain said that courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. Jesus was human. He had fear. He had troubles. But he was also courageous, and he showed us that he didn't allow his fear to derail him from his mission and call, that in the presence of his fears, he chose to face them. He chose to trust that he had a Father that was bigger than all the things. And And so no matter who you are, no matter what stage of life you are in, there will be a time, and it may have already passed, that you face your very own personal Gethsemane, where you will be overwhelmed with sorrow and troubles. And as you fall down to pray, my hope is that you are courageous and you pray, Father, may your will, not my will, be done. Let us pray. God, thank you. Thank you for giving us your Son. You know, we read the Bible sometimes, Lord, and we see all these miraculous things. And so today I'm grateful for a passage that reminds us of just how human Jesus was. And so I just ask that as we go throughout our days and throughout our months and years, and as we encounter things ourselves personally or with those around us that are hard, Lord, that you help us to remember this passage from today. That you help us remember that we were called to stay, not to run, and that you will be there with us in the midst of that. We love you, Lord, and we ask all of this in your Son's name. Amen. Do you want to read? Jeremy's not touching the bread, which is a good thing. Y'all don't want Jeremy's germs. Nobody does. So he's going to read, and I'll do the drama. Oh, it's back here.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave us your commandments and made us your covenant people. When your people forsook your covenant, your prophet Elijah